Let me ask you a question. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Now, most people, you would ask that question, those who are religious, and very quickly they would say, of course I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have given my life to Jesus. Have you? Or are you really ashamed of the gospel? I submit to you that if I were to ask most individual Christians, and if I were to ask most churches out there claiming to be of Christ, they would all tell you in one accord that they are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In asking this question to yourself, am I ashamed of the gospel? I want you to think about three things from this passage. Number one, I want us to see the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel of Christ has the power to save souls. Now, how does it do that? I mean, Revelation 1 verse 5 and Ephesians 1 verse 7 tells us very clearly that it is the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. That's right. Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16 tells us that it is baptism that washes away sins. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We learn here that it's at the point of baptism that we come in contact with the blood of Christ. Otherwise, the Bible would contradict itself. The Bible could not say that baptism washes away sins. But my friends, what does the gospel have to do with this? I'll tell you what it has to do with it. If it weren't for the preaching of the gospel, no one would know about the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins. That's the power in the gospel. This is the mode that God chose to use to save people, to draw people unto Him through Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord told His disciples in Mark 16:15 to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because He knew the power of the gospel. That's what God chose to bring people to Him. Even in Acts chapter 9, when the Lord appeared to Paul and or Saul there on the road to Damascus and spoke to him, He didn't tell him what he needed to do to have salvation. He told him to go into the city, and there he'd be told what to do. And then the Lord spoke to Ananias, and Ananias was reluctant at first, but he went ahead and went to Saul as the Lord told him. And when he came to Saul, Acts 22:16, he told him what he must do. "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." In Acts chapter 8, the Spirit did not go down to that Ethiopian eunuch and preach the gospel to him. No, the Spirit spoke to Philip and sent Philip to that eunuch. Why would he do that? Because this is the method that God has chosen. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, Paul said, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to those who believe. For Jews a sign and Greeks seem to have the wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." God chose the foolishness of the message preached, the message of the gospel, to save those who are lost. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Now let me ask you something. Are you ashamed of the power of the gospel? Are you one of these who won't try to speak to your fellow co-worker, or speak to your neighbor, or speak to your loved one about the gospel of Jesus Christ? You're afraid it won't work. You're afraid it won't make the necessary change in their life. You're afraid they're going to criticize you or reject you. My friend, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some churches who are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They don't use the gospel anymore, the pure, simple gospel, to draw people into their church. They have to use gimmicks and games and food and fun and frolic. And they hot dog them into the church. Or they game them into the church. And then they try to sneak in a little bit of gospel. Listen, friends, this is not what the Lord Jesus intended. Anybody can build a social club. Only the Lord can build a church. And He said to use the gospel and its power to draw men unto Him. You convert people to what you convert them with. If you convert them with a hot dog, then when the church down the street starts serving hamburgers, all your people's going to go down there. Why? Because they're not converted to the Lord. They're converted to the hot dog. And they're converted to the hamburger. But you convert them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and you'll have a Christian. You'll have someone who'll stay through thick and thin. Someone who will serve the Lord according to His Word. Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We see the power of the gospel. Number two, not only is there the power of the gospel, but there are the prospects of the gospel. Paul said, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I want to tell you something, friends. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not there for a select few. The Lord Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for a certain class. He did not die on the cross for the rich exclusively, or for the poor exclusively, or for the healthy exclusively, or for the sick exclusively. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He hung on that cross, He did so to offer salvation to the entire world. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, John said, and He Himself, that is Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world, He said there. For the whole world. Look at 1 Timothy 4:10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died in order to make salvation available to all men, but only those who believe and obey are going to receive that salvation. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, the Bible says about Jesus, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who, look at your Bible, to who? To all who obey Him. Jesus died to make salvation available to the whole world, but only those who come to Him through faith and obedience will receive that salvation. The prospects of the gospel are very broad, my friend. We like to narrow it out, don't we? We like to pick and choose as we look into the world at those around us. And we begin to say things like, well, that person is so wicked and so vile, well, they'd never receive the gospel. They'd never listen to what I have to say about Jesus. They'd never sit down and open a Bible with me and let me guide them to the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of their souls. They're just too sinful. And then we look at this group over here and we say, you know, they're just too poor. Look at how dirty and filthy they are. Look at what low lives they live. Well, if I tried to go out there and lower myself and try to teach them the gospel, they might actually believe it and become part of our church. And then they'd become a burden on us, always wanting money, always wanting a handout. You see how we rationalize these things? And then there are some sinners out there who won't come to the Lord saying things like, well, the Lord would never have me. Oh, preacher, you just don't know how sinful I've been. You just don't know how terrible I've been. Well, if I walked into that church building on Sunday morning, the roof would fall in. I want you to notice with me a group of people in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when the Apostle Paul said, beginning in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, I challenge everyone here to come up with a list of more despicable sinners. One that's worse than the list Paul presents here. But I want you to read on in verse 11. Notice what he said about all these. He said, and such were some of you. Some of these people who was writing to were adulterers and fornicators and sodomites and homosexuals and thieves and drunkards. But then Paul said, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You who? These adulterers, these homosexuals. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. I want to tell you something, my friend. I don't care how sinful you are. I don't care how long you've been a sinner. I don't care how horrible the sins you have committed are. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ with faith and trust and obedience, He will forgive you of every one of your sins. He'll cleanse you. He'll justify you. He'll make you as white as snow. What a wonderful promise in the Word of God. Think of those in Acts chapter 2. We're told that they're the very ones that murdered Jesus, the Son of God. Peter concluded his sermon by saying, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And then we find that they repented and that they were baptized and that the Lord washed away their sins. If God can forgive those who personally put His Son on the cross, let me tell you what, you can't do anything God can't forgive you of. Except reject His gospel given through the Holy Spirit. I want us to realize and recognize the power of the gospel. I want us to realize the prospects of the gospel. And I want us to understand the provisions of the gospel. Look at verse 17 of Romans 1. For in it, in what? The gospel. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, commentaries and scholars all debate what Paul meant here when he said from faith to faith. Some say it's talking about the gospel used objectively. The gospel is the faith, and it produces faith or subjective faith in those that hear it. That's from faith to faith. Then there are others who say, no, it's when one Christian goes out and teaches a lost person and converts them to the Lord and so shares their faith with someone else, and so that's from faith to faith. Well, I think the best explanation is the one Paul gave here. He said, after he said from faith to faith, he said, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now the just here would recognize those who had already come to the gospel, those who had already obeyed the gospel and become children of God. That would be the just. How do they live? They live by faith. They continue to serve the Lord faithfully by the faith, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter tells us that God, through His divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has provided for us in His Word everything we need to remain faithful unto Him until we die, and thus finally attaining that crown of life. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, I am not ashamed of the be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life, that is. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because there is the power of the gospel. There are the prospects of the gospel. And there are the provisions of the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, hear it. Romans 10:17, believe Jesus to be the Son of God. Repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess your faith, Romans 10:9-10. And finally, be baptized to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16, that you may be saved, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. After doing that, rely on the provisions of the gospel and remain faithful to the Lord until you die to finally attain that wonderful, glorious crown of life. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Flowery Street, Murfreesboro, or Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.